You are with Phoenix 98 FM here at Latitude Festival, and I am now joined by Blackie from Gomez. Good afternoon, sir. How's you?
Very well, thank you. How are you doing?
I'm good. All the better for being here with you.
Fantastic.
Now, I remember Gomez's first album coming out in 1998. Of course, it went to win the Mercury Prize.
Yep.
And for some people who, you know, might not necessarily remember this, you guys were signed in quite an unusual way, weren't you?
Yeah, we kind of stumbled our way into a record deal, really. I mean, I suppose like the short story is that we were kind of recording songs in Ollie's dad's garage on a four-track tape machine that was kind of needed to be held together with like tape and stuff. These tapes got passed on to the guy who became our manager, Stephen Fellows, who was in the Comsat Angels, had some industry insiders, passed that across. Then we ended up playing at Red Tape Studios to about 25 labels in one go. And then after that, Dave Boyd walked in, Hut Records, and we signed with them, and then went from there, basically. Yeah.
Indeed, yes. And so, yeah, it kind of all happened really quickly, because within a few months you were nominated for the Mercury Prize, and of course went on to win it. Do you remember much of the night when that happened?
It's a bit hazy now, but I remember certain points of it. I suppose one of the main things is that one of the things that stands out is when they announced it, and the winners of the Mercury Prize are, and somebody from the audience just shouted out Gomez before they'd actually announced it. And then it kind of, there was lots of noise in the room, and it's almost like you didn't hear it being announced or something. So then it's like, well, did we win it? And then I turned around and everybody else, all the other band members were on stage, and I was still sat at the table going, did we win it then or what? So then they were like, yeah, you better get up there. Okay. So it was a fun night. Yeah.
Brilliant. But yeah, I do remember one of the bands saying it was pretty amazing, because it was the album was recorded in, as you were saying, it was recorded in like a garage and under quite humble circumstances.
Yeah, I mean, it's what we had. We were all students at the time, and just, you know, in our holidays and stuff, we'd get together in the garage and record on that tape machine and just kind of making music for ourselves, really, and just having, it was our hobby, so that's what we did, basically, yeah.
Yeah, because you stood out a lot, because you had a lot of like heavy bluesy influences, which was quite different to a lot of the other guitar bands who were around at the time. So what kind of influenced you to sound like that?
Different things, you know. People were, you know, they'd be into different things like Robert Johnson and Tom Waits, all these kind of like Americana type things. We're into people like Beck as well, you know, so into bands that were influenced by these other bluesy artists as well. Then obviously when Ian found Ben and he had this kind of like gruff bluesy voice, or, you know, has that character for certain songs, then that obviously kind of added that element to it, you know. Yeah.
Excellent. And of course, you followed it up like a year later with Liquid Skin, mm-hmm. and of course both albums are now in the middle of celebrating their 20th anniversaries. Mm-hmm. So, and did you really think you'd be here like marking it with a tour 20 years later?
No, definitely not. Don't know what we were thinking 20 years ago. Yeah, I mean, last year was the 20th anniversary of the first record. So this, you know, now we're touring the 20th anniversary of the second record, which has basically come about because when we were touring last year, we were in Australia and our promoter over there was just basically saying, oh, why don't you do the second record next year? So that the initial intention for that was primarily to play that in Australia, but then we had the opportunity to play some festivals and the likes over here and do some gigs. So we enjoy doing it, so why not? But no, yeah, I mean, you know, obviously never thought 20 years ahead. You don't when you're that age, do you?
Yeah. So tell us about because you're doing some like special editions of the album as well. So tell us about what's on those.
Oh, there's things like, you know, so there's a couple of versions of the vinyl where there's like, you know, limited clear vinyl and stuff like that. But then also with the CD, there's like a package where there's lots of outtakes and, you know, songs that are previously unreleased in the CD bundle. You know, I guess essentially those things are usually for the kind of like the hardcore fans where, you know, they want to kind of see insight into the process of what was going on at the time. And it was just like a pretty prolific writing period at that time. So part of the reason, again, why it makes sense to be touring this record as well is really the two records were kind of, a continuous process in a way. It was just, you know, we were just writing and writing and writing and recording, and then the first record was put together, but we never really stopped writing. So Liquid Skin, there's, you know, the kind of most significant thing that identifies that is the fact that the song Bring It On, which is the title of the first record, is on Liquid Skin. So it's kind of an indication of how it was all one body of work, really. So, yeah.
Excellent. And there's one and there's one track on there which you used a bunch of really unorthodox instruments for it as well. I do remember kind of like Ian mentioning in an interview, I think, where there was one track where you used boxes, fire extinguishers, forks, paper drums.
Right, okay. I can't remember which one it was. I remember, I think when we did Devil Will Ride, there was a point where somebody said, I think maybe Ken Nelson, our engineer at the time, said something like, oh, you've got pretty well everything but the kitchen sink in here. And there was a kitchen right next door to the recording console room. So obviously somebody then went, all right, well, let's get the kitchen sink on it as well. So that's got, I think it was like, you know, basically going from four tracks and bouncing to go into a studio which had like 64 tracks or something like that. It's basically, how do we fill all these tracks? Which obviously is like a very beginner thing to do, but we were just messing around and having fun with it, so yeah.
Excellent, good fun. And since then, I mean, you actually ended up doing a lot of tours in America, didn't you?
Yeah, I mean, I suppose basically because we could, you know. I think our manager at the time was kind of, you know, mentioning about, obviously, you know, if you're touring the UK, tours are generally, because, you know, the geographic size of it, reasonably concise, you know, 2-3 weeks at most. But then, you know, you can go and tour the States for weeks, months on end, and not really kind of, you know, you've still not really made much of a dent in terms of coverage, because each state itself is so big and the towns within it. So yeah, we'd go back there repeatedly, and, you know, over the first several years. We did a tour there last year as well. But, you know, it's kind of something that's kind of enabled us to, you know, continue our career, really, kind of having a foundation over there. So, yeah.
Excellent, yeah. Yeah, because I think you were compared to, like, the Grateful Dead at one point, which must have been quite unusual.
Yeah, there's a few. I know Ben's definitely the biggest Deadhead in the band. I was never really into them, kind of discovered them more through Ben. But, yeah, over there we kind of got linked to the jam band scene, which was a little bit strange. You know, there's a couple of songs like Here Come the Breeze, which we jam out a bit. And so, you know, it's nice to be welcomed by them. I remember we did this... there was a, what was it called, a jam cruise, which went from Fort Lauderdale in Florida, and it went all down, you know, into Mexico and where else, Jamaica and the likes. Basically, it was all these jam bands where, you know, they'd start a song, you kind of watch it for 10 minutes, leave the room, come back 2 hours later, and they'd still be on the same song. So we thought we were going to get thrown overboard for playing like 2-3 minute songs and bringing everybody's high down or something. But we didn't. They let us live.
So. Good. Glad to hear that. And obviously since then, I mean, some of you have gone on and done solo albums, you know. So had you been back together for a while when the 20th anniversary gigs came around, or do you consider yourselves like having never gone away? How do you look at it?
Yeah, I mean, we definitely took a pretty long sabbatical. It was about 6 years, but essentially, yeah, there's people have been doing different things, like Ben's been doing his solo work. Released two or three albums. Tom's been doing quite a lot of work on writing for film and theatre and things like that. Ollie and Ian are working with Empire of the Sun and Dreams. I've been doing teaching stuff at a music college. And basically, just kind of, you know, we had our own things going on. Also, you know, like with people having families, not being on the road for such extended periods was kind of, you know, it became a little bit kind of difficult to manage our personal lives whilst being away for so long, based on, you know, children ages and things like that, the ages of our children and stuff. So yeah, there was kind of need for a bit of a change, and essentially it was kind of the anniversary re-sparked something. It was kind of a very definite time to kind of say, all right, let's, you know, this is a good time as any to kind of like go out and do some touring, see what love there is out there and the likes, and, you know, we still enjoy doing it, so yeah.
Excellent, good stuff. Glad to hear it. And when you do like your live gigs now, does it feel different to kind of like when you were performing back in the day, or is it quite, or do you find that the same spirit's there?
I mean, I think the same spirit is there, the same ramshackle nature is there as well, you know, but that's part of our presentation, and it's a kind of, you know, it's about getting people involved. We've never been about, you know, there's different things work for different bands, and that's what people appreciate and love about them so much. So sometimes there's an element of some bands work really well by being on a pedestal that's like separated from the crowd, and it's this otherworldly sort of thing. We're very much about, you know, not having that barrier, where it's kind of like very much an interaction, direct interaction between the band and the audience. And I think, you know, probably having not done it for 6 years, there's just kind of a greater appreciation for, you know, the fortune of being able to do it, really. It's a tough industry, and, you know, to get those breaks and opportunities, you know, I work with students who, you know, like their ambition is that, to go out and be in a successful originals band. And, you know, looking at the industry and the likes, and, you know, it's, you know, you have to appreciate how fortunate it's been to get that opportunity, basically, yeah.
Indeed, I bet they're quite surprised when you found out, yeah, we won the Mercury Music Prize, we toured America, you know, been there, done that.
Well, due to the age, they're usually like, and what are you called again? Yeah. Grandad or something like that.
Oh, I bet. So you're on stage tonight here at Latitude. What's your favourite Gomez song to play live?
It's a good question. I think there's one that I like is, well, there's Fill My Cup, and then also Love Is Better Than a Warm Trombone, just usually because it's kind of like comical larking about on the stage. So appreciate those ones for, you know, in terms of the live performance, and, you know, the fact that, you know, when you're putting on a live show, it's about entertaining the crowd rather, you know, as opposed to kind of like, well, you know, it's getting that balance between putting on a good, strong musical performance as well as making it entertaining visually and engaging sort of thing. So that involves quite a bit of clowning around on stage as well. And then, yeah, I don't know. You've kind of stumped me slightly with that one. I'd say those two, though, yeah.
Yeah, I'd say Warm Trombone is it's probably my favourite track on the first album. So
okay, right,
good,
cool.
Good choice.
Okay, good.
Excellent. Do you have more live shows coming up during the year?
It's only a short stint over here, so we're doing stuff like Shepherd's Bush on Sunday, and then Sheffield Tuesday, Glasgow, where else are we? Manchester. We're doing Llama Tree and Kendall Calling as well. But beyond that, I think that's it for the UK, and then we're over in Australia and New Zealand in November. Yeah, doing some gigs over there, so looking forward to getting out there.
Excellent. Yep. Do you think there'll be any new Gomez material in the pipeline? Have you been able to even think about that?
Watch this space, as they say. Yeah, yeah. There's kind of, you know, there's forward motion. We'll see how it goes. It's just kind of initial steps at the minute. But yeah, we'll see how it goes.
Excellent. Well, it's good to hear that all the anniversaries have inspired you musically as well.
Great. Cool. Thank you.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much for chatting to us today, Blackie.
Cool.
Good luck with all the shows and with the touring through to the end of the year. And yes, we'll look forward to hearing more.
Cool. Thank you very much. Have a good festival.